Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Where to begin in trying to analyze this story in Fort Hood, Texas? Well, we can begin with the death toll. It stands at 13 this morning, 30 wounded. And as people get up in Central Texas this morning and face the news, the entire community around Fort Hood is responding to what is being called the worst shooting spree of its kind in U.S. military history. A man is in custody. A major is believed to be behind the shooting. We'll know more about that when a news conference, possibly within the hour, is held in Fort Hood. We're going to come at this from a couple of different angles, but we begin with Erica Aguilar, who's a reporter we just spoke with in Fort Hood for a public radio station, KUT. Erica, first of all, what do we know about the suspect in this particular case?
You know, last night, Lieutenant General Bob Cohn didn't want to release any details. He's very adamant about it. But, you know, everyone's done some really good reporting. We just know that he is an Army psychiatrist. We know that he was on an interview with Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson. She was the one who was talking about how he was kind of afraid of going overseas. He had some hesitation and some thoughts beforehand. But, you know, the Fort Hood officials here are really adamant about releasing any kind of details about who exactly Major Hassan is.
And he is an American, and he's an American Muslim, and we've already talked with people on the program who are worried about that sensitivity being inflamed by the events here. I suspect at the news conference later this morning there will be some more said about that.
Oh, sure. That's when last night I drove around town just kind of getting a feel of what people are talking about. Talked to this one man who was on base while a lockdown happened late afternoon, and he commented on that. He said, you know, because of, you know, who his ethnicity, who he was, that could be, later inflamed in different media reports.
You know, the fact that he was a psychiatrist, it seems to me, is at least as disturbing as anything related to his ethnicity. I'm wondering what that means. And, you know, we may not know anything about that for quite some time. Erica, stay with us. Matthew Cassis was stationed at Fort Hood in 2007 when he was a private. He joins us now from Vermont. Matthew, is there some sort of culture of tension or danger at the Fort Hood base that it doesn't explain this at all, but it gives it some context?
Oh, no, definitely not. That place is so legit. There's nothing like that ever going on down there.
But are people on edge? I mean, this is a place where people deploy. Is it a kind of an emotional fever pitch at the base? How do people release their energy and their sense of stress?
Usually it's somewhat negative if the people are going to go deploy, or if they're just coming back from a deployment because they don't have many options or luxuries overseas. And when they come back here, they go a little crazy. You know, some people drink, and there's a couple accidents every month or so. I know there's a death clock in front of Fort Hood when you drive to that tells you how many accidents you have, and I haven't seen that thing over 45.
Wow. Now, of course, none of this explains what happened yesterday. You're just trying to get a sense through the eyes of soldiers who might be trying to get back to normal, or at least take a pause and reflect on what happened yesterday. Where were you when you learned, and what were your first thoughts as the headlines began to unfold?
I was here when I heard it. My wife told me, she's in Louisiana training, and it's hard to hear something like that. You know, it's bad to hear soldiers attacking other soldiers, and it's just not right. Our war isn't here. It's over there. It shouldn't be here.
All right. Nick Casal joins us. He's a detective first grade and is a former director of counterterrorism for New York City's subway system. Nick, comment, if you would, on, what happened in the media. And again, you know, the media isn't trying to win any awards here. I think they're as reactive and sometimes knee-jerk as ever. But it seemed like there were a lot of very conflicting pieces of information emerging from this. Three shooters, two shooters, one shooter, talking about this is maybe a terrorist attack. Then it wasn't a terrorist attack. Guide us through that a little bit, if you could, Nick.
Well, I guess the first thing you have to realize is, you know, when you go into a critical incident management phase, that the first information that you're receiving from the front is always inaccurate. And you know, when you try to analyze it, you should actually be in more a response mode, and that would be to contain, isolate, and then engage. I think that the military did the correct thing. The base and military police and civilian police responded within minutes. The base was shut down. I mean, there is a degree of confusion. Everybody is dressed the same. When you have one shooter shooting, the amount of rounds that he did fire in such close proximity, there could be a belief that there's one or more. And again, that is a smart decision by the responders to think that there could be more than one shooter, and that there could be a secondary event planned also.
All right, now I'm just theorizing here, but the fact that these were two handguns, one a semi-automatic handgun, at least that was what was told to us last night, certainly does give an indication that this was pretty premeditated. How do you evaluate a detail like that?
Well, I mean, historically we've seen in incidents like this, especially in terrorist incidents, you know, you plan for organized terrorist attacks. You cannot plan for that individual who just wakes up that day and decides he is going to commit something based upon his own moral beliefs. I mean, there is no counterterrorism to the individual.
All right, let's talk about that for a moment. I mean, as we were learning the details, there was a lot of talk about is this a terrorist incident? I was sort of surprised to learn, is there a fairly high degree of vigilance at U.S. military facilities as being targets of terrorist attacks? Is that high on the list?
Well, you have to understand that the base is on alert status because we are at war. And if you drive by any military base, you'll see that the normal conditions have changed drastically by how they deploy both military police and civilian security, armed security guards at the base. But the base, again, is structured against external attack.
All right. Matthew Cassis, you were stationed at Fort Hood in 2007. What does it mean for the base to be on alert?
You can't drive in. You can't do anything wrong. If anything is said to a nature that seems threatening, you're being stopped. It's very uptight down there. You ain't even going to be able to get into the base unless you have credentials.
Erica Aguilar, a reporter in Fort Hood, you talked about cruising through the community and getting some reactions from citizens who, of course, are shocked by this. Can you take us through the timeline of what happened yesterday, the when and the where, and, you know, it's still unfolding even now?
Sure. That was everything started about 1:30 p.m. local time, so here in Texas here. That's when it is suspected that Major Hassan did open a fire in the Soldier Readiness Center, which is a processing center, which means that a lot of soldiers around here go there to get medical screenings before and after their deployment. It was said that immediately after he opened fire, he said that a whole bunch of soldiers who were actually on the scene started ripping off their uniforms in order to give first aid to some of the wounded. Some of the soldiers were able to close off the doors about 50 meters away where there was a college graduation for soldiers who have completed, you know, college. And there were about 600 people in there, but someone was able to shut the doors and keep those people safe. Almost immediately, the place went on lockdown. It was about 5 hours that nobody could go in or out. Checkpoints were completely shut down. And then about 7:05 local time, p.m. here in Texas, that's when that ban was lifted. Family members were able to go in, take their children out of daycare or school if they were in there. And, you know, we waited around for a long while to try to find out what exactly happened. And at the press conference yesterday, Lieutenant General Bob Cohn was saying that it took a little while to finally get out that word is because he didn't want to, you know, give out any false information. And there was some confusion at the hospital trying to figure out if the man they were treating was, in fact, Major Hassan.
Right, and now we learn that it is indeed the suspect, and there's also a woman who's one of the wounded who's being described as a hero. We're going to learn more about that when there's a news conference, possibly as soon as within the next half hour. Matthew Cassis, thanks for joining us. Was stationed at Fort Hood in 2007. Erica Aguilar, just speaking there from KUT, reporting on the Fort Hood situation. And Nick Casal, detective first grade, former director of counterterrorism for the New York City subway system. And here is Lieutenant General Robert Cohn speaking yesterday at Fort Hood.
We do not carry weapons. This is our home. So we do have security guards that are here, the MPs and the Department of the Army Civilian Police. But soldiers on Fort Hood do not carry weapons. I will say that we are, as a matter of assurance to the local community, we are going to increase our security presence here in the coming days.
Military reacting to the incidents at Fort Hood, 13 dead, 30 wounded. More on The Takeaway.